The always vile Jimmy Kimmel stopped on by the last week of Stephen Colbert's show on CBS and then went on to slam, said CBS and Paramount and even Disney too. Has Jimmy Kimmel finally worn out his welcome so much that even Josh D'Amaro and Dana Walden must part ways with him? One thing's for sure, don't expect an invite for Jimmy on CBS ever again. Hello, folks. Welcome back to the channel that is more relevant than late night and every single day. We're growing and growing because you continue showing up to the videos we release. We're so happy that you're here. As we dive into the latest Jimmy Kimmel controversy, click that like button, share this out. And if you're not yet subscribed, just know we're working overtime every single day to earn such a thing from you. Well, Jimmy Kimmel knows how to make everybody hate him ever more. Jimmy Kimmel, the Disney guy, decided to go on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert in the final week and make not only Disney regret that he was there, but also CBS, too. Take a look at this out of Variety. It says, Jimmy Kimmel encouraged fans to cancel their Paramount Plus subscriptions because CBS will soon pull The Late Show with Stephen Colbert off the air. Now, remember that Paramount Plus is the sister app, the sister streaming service of CBS. So Jimmy Kimmel literally goes onto his competitor's channel to call for a boycott of said channel. That's like walking into your neighbor's house and saying, where's the restroom? No, actually, I'll just do it right here. Quote, I will tell you, when I got knocked off the air for a few days, people canceled Disney Plus. Why aren't people canceling Paramount Plus? Because you never had it in the first place. So not only did he insult Paramount and CBS, but he also insulted Disney because he claims now that the reason he was brought back was because of a boycott that happened on Disney. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that people did cancel Disney Plus? And did you know that almost certainly the reason for it was because they were absolutely enraged that he lied about Charlie Kirk? This man has no low. He has no scruples. I want to call out a Bill Murray quote from Ghostbusters, but we won't go there. Variety continues on with Jack Dunn, Jimmy Kimmel, John Oliver, Seth Meyers, and Jimmy Fallon discuss Donald Trump's obsession with late night on Stephen Colbert's Late Show. I appreciate that he's watching linear television. These guys basically all sat around and pretended that the president of the United States is sitting there watching them, responding to them. Kimmel brags that Melania is mad at him because he said she's an expectant widow and all this kind of stuff. This is turning into a disaster of epic proportions for late night this last week of Stephen Colbert. First of all, it's sad. There aren't big celebrities really going over there. I mean, Letterman's going to stop by and see the thing that died under the watch of Colbert. But we know that Kimmel's probably done in 1 year. So this, it really came across as people wanting to be relevant desperately, but not being relevant anymore. It's like watching dads at a high school basketball game sit around and talk about how many points they would score if they were out there.
I'm trying to come up with a name for that group shot. I'm going between the Sour Rangers and Stink and the Unwatchables.
No, Sour
like
Rangers.
Unwatchables. Yeah.
Unwatchables. Yeah.
Yeah, that's got a good ring to it.
But I mean, like, does Trump have an obsession with late night, or does late night have an obsession with Trump?
That's a good point, because they literally have no jokes.
We're going to get to the point where Paramount is going to be the only watchable studio in Hollywood, because now Mark Ruffalo and Jimmy Kimmel and all these people are burning their bridges with the Ellisons. And we're going to get to the point where only like based actors are working with Paramount, and we're going to just be able to have fun movies where no one says anything in, you know, ridiculous press tours or whatever anymore. It's going to get to the point where Paramount is going to be the number one studio in Hollywood, I think.
Now, of course, we would play the clip, but CBS would get us. They always do. But just listen to this. Kimmel once again took the lead. Of course he did. Referring to his recent spat with First Lady Melania Trump. I wouldn't call it a spat when you say the First Lady is an expectant widow. I don't think that's a spat. I think that is like vile territory that we all know you would never go to. Can you imagine if Dr. Jill, 4 years ago, if one of the comedians had come out and said that she's an expectant widow? Can you imagine that person? Nope. They wouldn't be working. They wouldn't be at conventions. They could not be a manager at Wendy's. And we love our managers at Wendy's, but they couldn't do anything, right? There's nothing they could do if they had said a similar thing. He said, you know what's even weirder? Doing a job that his wife has strong feelings about. Myers quipped back, Seth, that is, most of us have avoided that part. So they're laughing. They're yucking it up about the idea that they said Melania is an expectant widow. Like, they're joking about the death of the president. And they're loving that the White House says, hey, this is too far. You guys are going too far. After the third attempt of a deletion of the president, they're still yucking it up. They're still laughing it up. Panel, it's time for late night to go. Is it not? This is too much.
I mean, so CBS has already taken that step, right? We're not replacing Colbert with another late night show. We're going to just eliminate the show entirely, and we're going to move to a completely different format. I think that the only one that has any kind of staying power is The Tonight Show, but I don't think that Fallon has staying power. I think The Tonight Show will always exist in some form because it's an American institution, but I think that there may come a day in, like, you know, 10 years or so where The Tonight Show is the only one left standing. I can't imagine they're going to keep, like, you know, Seth Meyers has absolutely no ratings. I imagine if Paramount Warner Brothers merger goes through, John Oliver's on his way out. So, you know, we'll see.
I think that whole Jon Stewart crowd is just kind of shriveled up. And the thing about this, too, is, you know, Colbert was losing like $40 to $70 million, depending on who you ask. The estimates are $40 to $70 million for CBS. They have now sold that time slot to another comedian organization that will essentially run their own late night show. But CBS gets paid for it. So they cannot lose money. So to go from that. They haven't revealed how much they're paying for that slot. This Byron Allen is paying for it. But if he's paying $30 or $40 million, you're talking about $100 million swing into the positive. I mean, that's insane. And yet these guys get up there and expect the average audience to not understand. Mo, we've gone to a place now where late night is, I mean, I remember, you know, back in the '90s and before, you know, the Carson era back in the '70s, and then you had Letterman and you had Leno and even Conan. A lot of people loved Ferguson. Man, late nights, just nobody watches this anymore. And all we do is we don't cover the funny jokes. We don't cover what a celebrity said. We cover the vitriol every week from these guys.
Right. And there is no comedy that, you know, basically comedy reflects where, you know, society kind of is right now, at least as far as like the elites and the people that have the biggest platform. And that's the problem with comedy. In the woke era, is it's nothing but clap breaks and asking for you know, reactions from the crowd, and that's all you get with late night. It used to be like, let's make fun of everything, let's laugh at everything, because reality is silly. Now it's like, your reality is silly, my reality is actually real, and it's that's why they're all like this, you know, gray blob of unfunny, charismatic, you know, vacuums. That's why we're at where we're at. Is because that's where, you know, the elites have wanted to drive society. So that's why they stink. And we just need to, all these institutions are old, they're rotten, and they've been infiltrated by all of these talentless fools. And they just need to go. And we need to get rid of it. I agree with The Tonight Show. There might be somebody that might be able to hold it up. Fallon is the least offensive out of everybody, but that's not saying much about them. They're all just kind of boring. They don't have the Carson personality. They don't have the Leno personality. Yeah.
Fallon's also the only one, though, that has never in his life been funny.
His job on SNL was to laugh at the other funny people in the skit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, Fallon has, there's never been a period of time where I have thought Jimmy Fallon was funny. I was just going to say, the others have had their moments. Kimmel with The Man Show. I thought that when Colbert first started doing the satire, I thought that a lot of the things that he did were clever. Bill O'Reilly even was able to laugh at it at times, you know, because he was doing a parody of him. But yeah, Fallon, I just absolutely never been funny. Go ahead, Kara.
Oh, I was going to say, Jimmy was like clutching like the coattails of like celebrities and trying to be relevant. Like, I remember when he was like at that one football game and he just kept following the two celebrities around everywhere. It was like, It wasn't a good look, but I think something that I wish would happen is I wish that these people that have these forward public facing positions would remember that the people they're talking about are still human, and that they're talking about them in a way that if it was reversed to them, they would not be okay. I'm pretty confident every guy on that show would not like it if people were saying your wife's going to be a widow soon and we can't wait to see that glow up for her. And, you know, it disturbs me just a little bit because reducing somebody to a symbol to generate hate towards is a common war tactic. Because when you remove what makes people human, it makes it easier to treat them in a manner that you would not normally do in polite society. And they're stoking the fire for this in a way that's not appropriate in a time when we're trying to come back together right now. And I really wish like the studios would remember that people aren't looking to be more diverse. They're now looking to like come back together and find goodness.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
And here's the thing. As far as like jokes, I enjoy some pretty racy jokes. All right. I would never tell them online. I grew up with Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, those kind of, you know, you can be racy. There's a way to do it where it's funny and it's still good natured and you're not attacking people. They're not even funny. Even if you broke down the joke and you looked at it as a comedian would and say, well, is this funny? It's not funny. Like they're not funny and they're mean. So it's like, why are you even here, people?
Because the intent of the joke is not to like laugh at it. The intent of the joke is not to make light of it. The intent of the joke is they're angry at it and they're raging at it. That's the difference.
The other strategy they have is, what can I say that is so awful on network TV? Which if I said it anywhere else, nobody would care because I would have no relevancy whatsoever. But what can I say that is so awful that goes so far that it will get a response from the White House because it actually puts people in danger? And then when I get that response, then I'm going to pretend that means that I've got my finger on the pulse of the presidency, right? That's the play they're making. If I say Melania is an expectant widow, the White House will have to say, hey, that is too far for network TV, and this needs to be looked into. And then I'll say, ooh, I'm under attack from the orange man again. You won't believe what that's the play. But Jonas, one of the worst parts about this is that he goes on to, you know, this other show and claims that the boycott, the supposed non-existent boycott that never happened, claims that worked and people should boycott the very same company where he's a guest. I think it makes both CBS and Disney aghast that he's saying that, Jonas.
Right. Well, they all know that they're going to be canceled eventually. And by eventually, I don't mean 10 years from now. I mean, like within the next 2 years, Jimmy Fallon, well, maybe not Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel. Sorry, I forgot the Jimmys. Jimmy Kimmel and Colbert, obviously circling the drain for both of those. Jimmy Kimmel wants to be a martyr so bad right now. We're all kind of surprised that Colbert is going to get his last week, and all of them coming together in solidarity to try to save something that no one is interested in watching. It kind of has the same through line as the way that we've seen Star Wars going over the last few years and the way we've seen Marvel going. It's like it's a dare. If you don't want to watch this, you're a horrible person. If you're not participating, if you don't have the same viewpoint as us, you're a horrible person. I don't care if they hate Donald Trump. I don't want them to hate someone in the world. I don't think it's good to hate someone because that makes someone else existing your problem. The real problem here is that it shows a contempt for the part of their audience that does not hate Donald Trump or may actually agree with some of the things that are politically advantageous to people who vote for Donald Trump. So what they're actually doing is showing their disdain for the audience more than they are saying, oh, there's a guy over there that I hate. It could be really funny if they were just ripping on Matt Damon all day long. It would get a little old after a while. But if they're trying to call people stupid for watching Matt Damon movies, then it's not a Matt Damon problem. It is an insult to the audience. And that is essentially what they've done here. With Jimmy Kimmel, he's brought out his kids as a prop when he's talking about political things on the show.
As a
his
shield.
Wife is driving super political narratives. The same thing with
Jesus
Colbert.
Producer.
They're going super political with everything that they do. They're all trying to do the thing that Jon Stewart did, which was start out talking about the news and realizing they can make jokes and mistaking their own snarky, you know, one-liners as good points. Clever is not the same thing as accurate or convincing. They're very confused as to what they're actually doing with this. They think they're making points because they're getting clapped, if you want to call it that. What they're actually doing is just angering the other side of the audience, which is not what people want to go to sleep doing. I have Twitter for that.
what people forget also is that Jon Stewart used to, like, Jon Stewart had an interview with Obama one time. It was the first time Obama had ever, like, come on the show. And he actually kind of took it to him. And Obama got, like, visibly mad sitting there with him. So, like, there used to be some give and take. The other problem is Trump is in, like, Trump's thin skin, I think, sometimes works against him because they're trying to sucker him into a response so that they can be in a feud with the president of the United States. And it works because he takes the bait. I honestly think if he ignored them, they would just fade away. Like the way that Trump ignores Mark Hamill. Like, Mark Hamill has never gotten the boost from his Trump hate because Trump himself has never, like, nicknamed Mark Hamill or called Mark Hamill out in a direct social media post. I think that he, these guys would not even have the spotlight, the minimal spotlight they have, if the president would stop going after them specifically. Like, I feel like as the president of the United States, you should be above that. And you should be like, I'm going to focus on the world and not a late night comedian, because it's giving them what they want.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of fading out, why do they have to say that they're the leaders of 11:35 p.m.? And what show does that, really? I mean, who's the leader of an 11:35 or an 11:36? Who's the top at 11:34? The reason they do that is because late night will continue on. Gutfeld doubles, triples these guys. He just doesn't do it at 11:35. And that's the whole game. That's why they put it the way they do. Their relevancy is dwindling. And now they're spinning a victory out of thin air.
I know, you want more. You want more of the Pro Channel, folks, but we've got to head out the door for this video. But fret not yet, for more content is yet on the way. Three times a day, thrice as nice, right here on the Pro Channel. Oh, what's that you say? You want more than that? Fine, we'll do four. Four videos. Well, yeah, that's happening. Folks, as you get ready to go, consider clicking the like button for us. It is a huge help. Also, like, share, subscribe, and click it to the algorithms. It is the notification bell. We would also love it if you could drop on down and give us a comment. We love hearing from you. And although we can't respond to every single comment, we often are reading them indeed. Folks, we would encourage you to consider subscribing to our partner channels, that Park Place, that Game Place, and that Pod Place. We love them all. We think you might too. Until the next time we have the joy of joining with you, keep learning, keep growing, and keep having fun.